Hope you got your Bible. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. So you go Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and then 1 Kings, 2 Kings, go to chapter 20. This morning you'll hear the message, or with the Lord's help, you'll hear the message that was slated for last Sunday night that was postponed. So we'll go on with Hezekiah a few weeks ago now. We started off talking about the life of Hezekiah, talked about his prosperity, and then he got himself kind of in a mess, and the Lord helped him out of the mess because the Lord's the one that helps you out of messes, amen? And you'll see today, this morning, another little situation that the Lord helped him out of, and then you'll see the end of his life. So this is Hezekiah's end. Let's go to chapter 20. Let's read the first 7 verses. Then I'll skip a few before we read down towards the end of the chapter. So to give you a little idea of what's happening here, when you get in 2 Kings, here's the toughest question you're going to get all day. In 2 Kings, you're reading about the kings of Israel and Judah, yes. And Hezekiah, let's see if you know, was he a king over Israel or over Judah? Judah. Israel north, Judah south. So he was in the south. And he was a good king. A lot of good things about this fellow Hezekiah. And we'll see some things about his life at the end here this morning. So look at verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. I'm going to skip down to verse 12, and we'll read down towards the end of the chapter. Verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. So there's the last few years of Hezekiah's life, and then you get to the very end where he passes away. So let's ask the Lord to help us as we study this morning, that we'll get something that He wants us to get out of this passage here this morning. So let's pray. Lord God, we're just asking You for help this morning, just as Hezekiah did a long time ago. A little bit different kind of help we need this morning. We need spiritual help. We don't know what is coming ahead. You do. And I pray that each of us would have prepared hearts this morning for the week and the days ahead. I pray that we would take something from the message from a man that lived a long time ago and make it real personal. And only you can do that this morning. We're asking your Holy Spirit to take these scriptures and make them personal to us. May you do heart surgery on every one of us this morning. And we would all just deal honestly with you and what you put before our hearts through your Holy Spirit and through your word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So I'm a baseball fan, and I heard one man say a long time ago, the saddest day of the year for a baseball fan is the day after the last game of the World Series, because the season's over. Well, that happened this week, and I used to follow baseball real close, and I used to get really sad when the season ended, not so much anymore. But I do want to give you a little illustration from the world of baseball. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So in 2001, the Seattle Mariners won the first 20 out of 24 games of the season. They're 20-4, which in baseball is really good. They actually had a really good regular season. They won. This is amazing. If you don't follow baseball, what I'm about to tell you is incredible. It hardly ever happens. They won 116 games. So their record was 116 wins and 46 losses. That's really, really, really good. If you win over 100 games, you got a really good team. They won 116. However, do you know anything about the 2001 Seattle Mariners other than what I just told you? Even if you follow baseball, you may not even remember this. You know why? They made the playoffs. In the first round of the playoffs, they lost to the New York Yankees. And the World Series that year was won, not even by the Yankees, but by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Nobody remembers the Seattle Mariners because how'd they finish? As losers. They weren't the last team standing. They lost. Now, here's an interesting thing. A little recent example. Just a few days ago, this past week, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series. We've got some Braves fans here. Yes, the Braves actually did not have a great start to this year. So I went back, the Mariners in 2001, 20-4 out of their first 24 games. They won 20. The Braves this year only won 12. They were a mediocre team, average team, 12-12 after 24 games. But does anybody remember how they started the year? No, what people are remembering, particularly Braves fans, is that they finished at the top. And they won the World Series. Didn't matter how they start. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, we started talking about Hezekiah, and we talked about how prosperous he was. A lot of good things about this man. But if you were listening when I read, he did not end so great. His life had a little bit of a rough ending. Now, we're not going to forget all the good things he did, because the Scriptures record those things. But at the end of his life, it doesn't end great. So let's take a look here this morning at three things. The first one being Hezekiah's sickness. Hezekiah's sickness. Now, hopefully you get some real practical stuff here. You know anybody that's sick? Now, you're not supposed to come to church in the day we live in if you're sick. But chances are there might be somebody here that has been sick recently. Or for sure, you know somebody who's sick. I'll give you a good example of this. Patrick is here this morning. Hallelujah. Been gone for a few weeks. And he's had a bout with the shingles. You know what we've been doing here for the last few weeks? Been praying for Patrick. Now, you can call it coincidence. I don't believe in those things, particularly when the Lord is called upon to help. Patrick's here this morning, amen. And he's got a lot of relief, I'm sure, from the shingles. And I think a lot of that has to do with prayer. I don't think that's just a coincidence. Oh, he got better. Folks, prayer changes things. Don't you chalk it up to coincidence when you pray for something and God answers. I often find myself in a situation where I pray for something and then it comes to pass exactly as I ask the Lord to bring it. And then I just kind of go on without even thinking, oh yeah, the Lord answered that prayer. I'll tell you how to avoid, like I do, doing those things like that. Write down your prayer requests. And then here's a really neat thing. You write them down and then put them in a place where you can go back to them. I have a little book that I keep that I write my Bible study notes in, and I'll sometimes write prayer requests in there. And it's really neat when you can go back to something weeks or months ago and say, man, I prayed about that and I'd forgotten that. I forget the age I am. I forgot that I prayed about that. And the Lord answered it exactly as I asked him to answer it. Now, what should be produced in your heart whenever that happens? Thank you, Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Thank you for answering that prayer. So when God answers prayer, the goal of that is for you to say, wow, God is great. And God, you are worthy of my praise. Thank you, Lord. I know in America, I'm speaking for myself, maybe not the case with you, but I see myself and a lot of Christians, we don't thank God near enough for what he's given us, do we? And Romans chapter 1, we're not going to go there. But you know what the downfall of a society, the downfall of an individual or a society is? You know where it starts? It starts with a lack of thankfulness. James went through this here a few weeks ago in Sunday school. It starts with not being thankful. You know how it ends? I'll let you read Romans 1, but it's ugly. It's really disgusting the way you read over there how it starts with just being unthankful, and it just grows into just absolute wickedness. So, hey, you got anything to thank God for? If God's answered your prayers, don't forget to pray again and say, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. Now, what's Hezekiah praying about? If this is not applicable to where we are in our world today, look at verse 1. In those days, was Hezekiah what? Look at those three words. Sick unto death. What have you heard for the last, we're going on almost 2 years now? You're going to die. You're going to get sick and you're going to die. I'm glad that the alert is being sounded that there's a sickness that ought to be taken seriously. Amen? I mean, we ought to take sickness seriously. You oftentimes think that, oh, that particular sickness won't take somebody's life, and yet it does. Sickness should be taken seriously. And sickness can lead to what? Death. Okay. What's sad in the last year and a half, 2 years almost now, is that you've heard a lot about sickness and death. But you haven't heard anybody, at least on the media, in the media, saying the nation needs to pray about this problem of sickness and death. Can you imagine if you heard your favorite news personality come on and say, today is a day of prayer. We're going to ask Almighty God to heal our nation. You're not going to hear that. But that is the formula. That is what is needed right now. So I don't want to just say about talk this morning about Hezekiah's end and how it's not a great ending. I do want to say some good things about Hezekiah because the Lord remembered the good things about Hezekiah, right? So first thing to learn about Hezekiah, Hezekiah's sickness. What is the first thing he did when he got sick? Let's read. He was sick unto death. Let's read the rest of verse 1. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So this guy has a death sentence. Now what he could have done is said, well, I'm going to die. I'll do as the Lord said, set my house in order, and I'll just wait. He didn't do that. Look at verse 2, and let's see what we ought to do whenever sickness comes along, or anything that is out of our hands of control. Look at verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall, and what's that next word? Prayed unto the Lord. Folks, there is the answer to sickness, the response to sickness. You ought to be praying. Now, you know what happens when you get sick? You have pain and weakness. You ever had that happen? Now, looking around here, and I know I had it, Sherry had it, I know James and Jules here not too long ago had it. You got this virus that's going around, and maybe it didn't take you down to the bed for a few days. Maybe some of you did, but most of all, it was just lingering and annoying. I know when I had it, it just lingered and was annoying, and I did not like, here, this is just me talking real selfishly, I did not like the fact that I was not operating at 100% like I normally am. That's a good thing. Because I need to be reminded, and we all need to be reminded, of our own weakness. And our own weakness ought to produce in us crying out to the Lord for some help. So can we just be honest, the state of our nation right now? We're weak. And I'm not talking political here. I'm not even going to go that route. We're in a position of weakness in many ways. I'd say number one on the list, spiritually weak. And you know what that ought to produce in a Bible-believing crowd like we got here this morning? Lord, help our nation! Lord, help us here in this church to be what we ought to be and help our nation to get right as well. Lord, help us here in this church to be the light we ought to be, so that this nation sees you for who you really are as the only source of help. Folks, the only thing Hezekiah knew to do was the right thing to do. He prayed. And let's see what happens here. The right response to weakness and sickness is prayer. Look at verse 4. This is a great thing. And I bet there's people right here this morning that could say, give a testimony of the same thing that happened here in Hezekiah's life. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle courts, that the word of the Lord came to him. Now, what I see there is Hezekiah prayed, and you're looking at moments later. Very little time passes, and what's he get? He gets an answer. I like those kind of answers from the Lord, right? Now, you don't always get those kind of answers. So let's talk about this for a second. When you do get an answer quick like that from the Lord, wow, thank you, Lord. I love it whenever the Lord delivers in a moment's notice and he gives you a specific answer real quick. I love that. But the Lord doesn't always do that, does he? Have you ever noticed how you got a deadline where you're needing an answer and the Lord takes you, I remember a big decision I had to make a long time ago, really was a life-altering decision at the time. And I would say even took me down the path I am today. Good path. The decision that I had to make, I kept praying and saying, Lord, I need an answer. Lord, I need an answer. Now, in my mind, and I probably even asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need the answer by, and I gave a date. Because I had to give somebody else an answer. I prayed for several weeks on that thing, at least a few weeks. And the Lord did not give me an answer. And I get up to the deadline day. And as clear as can be, I got an answer from the Lord as to how to respond. Now, you know what? I didn't like waiting on the Lord. You know what I needed to do? I needed to wait on the Lord. Because you go over to James chapter 1, you find out that tribulation worketh patience. We don't like being patient in America, do we? We want something now. But we need to wait sometimes. And patience produces experience. And experience produces hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. That's over in James chapter 1. As a result of having to wait on an answer from God, that was a good experience for me. You know why? I just shared it with you. It produces hope in me that even whenever God doesn't answer immediately, He will give an answer. Don't stop praying just because God hasn't given you an answer. Because He's going to give you one of three answers. He's going to say no to something. He's going to say yes to something. He's going to say, I'm not ready to tell you yet, so you're going to have to wait. So if you haven't got clear direction, you just keep praying and you just wait on the Lord. With waiting comes strength. I can't understand exactly how that works, but God gives you strength as you have to wait. It's kind of like, well, Tommy Lee could tell you about this. A college football player, by the way. FSU, is that right? He could tell you. Am I right on that? Purdue. I'm like, oh, man, I really messed up. My fault. Got it way off. Purdue University. He could tell you this morning about having to go and do workouts and how the workouts day after day, the hard football workouts, it didn't seem like anything was really helping. But it was hard. But then over time, what's happening? You're getting strength from that, aren't you? Because you're waiting and you're keeping on. You keep going back, doing what you know we're supposed to be doing. And then through that, you get great strength. The Lord works the same way, folks. You keep going back to Him and you tell Him what you need and you wait. And you're thinking, man, nothing's happening. And then over time, you know what the Lord's doing? He's giving you great spiritual strength because you kept doing what you knew to do and you just waited on Him. Amen? So look at the answer He gets here. Hezekiah gets a good answer, a fast, quick answer. Look at verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will what? Did Hezekiah get his prayer answered? Amen. Now look at this. Now we don't have time to chase this morning, but you know a little bit about your Bible. This is really neat. This little detail that is purposely thrown in there. On the what day? On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Now, I underlined on the third day there. And you might want to underline up as well. something in your Bible, particularly when you get over to the New Testament, about 3 days, and then up. Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again to what? You think the prophet Isaiah got a little Bible prophecy there whenever he gave that prophecy to Hezekiah about something that would happen, about 700 years later? What do you think? This is about 700 years before Christ. Isn't that neat? A little detail the Holy Spirit threw in there. So I think that's really neat to just see those little details and chase them through your Bible. Now look at verse 6. This is kind of interesting. I will add unto thy days 15 years. I'd say that's a pretty good deal. You got 15 years extra. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Amen to that. That guy had given him trouble before. And look at the last thing. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now, the last part of that verse, notice that the Lord answers prayer for his own sake, yet we get the benefit sometimes, don't we? Understand, God's answered prayer, when God answers prayer, the goal of that is for him to get the glory out of that because he's doing the work, right? I think the Lord throws that in there just to remind Hezekiah and to remind us. Answered prayer is for the glory of God. Now, we get the benefit. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad I got in on this. But ultimately, glory to God, right? Now, look what happens here next. Verse 7 is very interesting. And again, this is one of those details you can chase on your own. I'll give you my thoughts on this. Verse 7, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And there's not a lot of detail given about that. But I do know this in the Bible, and I'll just leave it at this. You can chase this on your own. In the Bible, there's a lot of natural remedies for healing. I said natural, not pharmaceutical. I will leave it at that. Let me give you a few in your Bible. The food you eat. Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. That's not in the Bible. That's a proverb from a doctor somewhere along the way. But the thing is, who made this earth we live on? Didn't the Lord make it? All right. Who makes a lot of the medicines that we have today? They're made in a laboratory by men. So I always say that the natural God-made stuff, rather than the man-made stuff, is probably the better route to take. What do you think? Now, some foods that you may not eat, but they're in your Bible as beneficial. Butter, honey, wheat, rye. Sherry likes this one. Cheese. The right kind of cheese. Be careful on your cheeses. But God gave us a lot of healing foods, but it sure does seem like the world's trying to steer us away from that. Folks, there's a lot to be said about what God made and it being able to help you with physical ailments. I'll leave it at that. All right. Hezekiah's sickness. Why did Hezekiah get sick and why did God say he was going to die? Well, I know the wages of sin is death, right? Notice in verse 1, there's a little section here in verse 1 we could preach a long time on. I'll just give you a short few-second sermon. The Lord told him that he was going to die, and he tells him, verse 1 at the end, set thine house in order. Now, since the wages of sin is death, and we are all sinners in this room, you're going to be honest with the Lord, we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't come back before then. You know what we ought to do this morning? If you haven't done it, you ought to take care of it today. You ought to set your house in order. Because I don't know when I'm going to die, neither do you. I'm younger than many of you in here. That does not guarantee that I'll be alive longer as far as into the future than you. That has nothing to do with that. Especially in this last, with all the craziness in our world the last couple of years, you've seen young people die that completely unexpected. And I think we've had to probably see more death in the last 18, 20 months than we've probably ever seen prior to that, with people you know that are passing away. So what should we do? I'll just ask you the question. Is your house in order? And the way that you get your house in order first and foremost is you better be right with God. Are you right with God this morning? You know the answer to that. God knows the answer to that. I don't. But you better get right now. What's that mean? Well, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you do, then you ought not worry about dying. At the same time, are you ready to meet him face to face, or would you be ashamed if you met him today? That's something that needs to be pondered by all Bible-believing Christians. I'm at the top of the list. I need to ponder that thing every single day so that I have things in order, since we don't know when the last day we live is. I hope all of you come back next week. Sunday, next Sunday is November the 14th. I hope all of you come back. I hope I'm back here as well. And I don't care whether I'm in the pew or it doesn't matter. I hope I'm here. I have no guarantee of being here, neither do you. You got some things you need to get right with the Lord today? You better get them right today. Because if you put it off, you won't get it right. I'm a procrastinator. I know how this works. I'll take care of it tomorrow. That turns into Tuesday. That turns into Wednesday. And here you are way down the road, and maybe it gets taken care of, and maybe it doesn't. Folks, do not procrastinate getting right with God. I heard there's a speaker that I heard when I was a teenager, and I'll never forget what he said because it stuck with me, and unfortunately I did not heed his advice. He said, you better get right with God as a teenager and start living for God as a teenager. Because if you put it off to when you're an adult, you won't do it when you're an adult. And if you say, when you're an adult, I'll put it off to when I get a little older, you'll get a little older and you still won't take care of it. And if you say, I'll wait until I'm even older, you'll keep putting this thing off and you won't take care of it. So what's the answer? Take care of it right now. Today, take care of it. All right? Set your house in order. We'll just go on from there. Hezekiah's sickness, led him to prayer. Prayer is a great way to get your house set in order. Ask the Lord what you need to do to take care of things to get it in order. And He'll show you if you ask. All right, let's go over to this next section here. Let's talk about Hezekiah's foolishness. And there's a whole lot in this passage. I'm just going to kind of scoot along here for time's sake. Let's talk about Hezekiah's foolishness. We had Hezekiah's sickness, the right response. But Hezekiah is a man. Hezekiah is flesh and blood, just like us this morning. So you know what he's prone to do? Make a foolish decision. Just like I am, and so are you, if you're not careful, if you're not trusting the Lord. So I think it's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit put in this chapter the right response when things are going the wrong way, or they're difficult. And he also puts here a foolish response by Hezekiah in the same chapter. You know why he did that? Because you and I are prone to be just like Hezekiah if we're not careful. So the warning is here in this chapter. Hezekiah handled this first thing right, but he didn't handle this second thing right. You want to be consistent with your walk with the Lord so that every time you have something come your way, you handle it the way that God wants you to handle it instead of just doing it yourself. What I see here is Hezekiah let God take care of the sickness, and then this other thing comes along, I'll read about here in a minute, and he said, I got this one. And you know what happened? It's pretty rough what happened. I'll read about that here in a second. But let's read what happens. Verse 12. At that time, Beradak-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of where? Now you want to watch places in your Bible. Two places in your Old Testament that are never good. Egypt and Babylon. Egypt, Pharaoh, type of the devil. Babylon, the king of Babylon. Also, you could say a type of the devil or a type of the Antichrist. So this guy shows up. Beradak-Baladan, king of Baladan, look at verse 12. Now look what he does. Sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah. For he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Well, that was nice of Beradak-Baladan, wasn't it? That was nice of him. Oh, my buddy Hezekiah, my old buddy Hezekiah. He's not feeling too good. I'm going to send him some presents. Now here's what does not happen that should have happened. Hezekiah should have said, Lord, what's this guy up to? Lord, what's this guy's motive? And I will give you a little practical thing that I have experienced in my life here recently. Be very careful. Be very careful when people come to you speaking very highly of you and even giving you things that are nice. Because it might seem to you that they think, man, you're so great. But they oftentimes have a motive to tear you apart. You ever know people like that? Now, not all rich people are like this, but you got to watch out for certain rich people. I've seen this in my own life here recently. These folks with lots of money will come to you, and they'll tell you how great you are. And they'll say, hey, I'll take care of this, and I'll take care of this. And you're thinking to yourself, man, number one, I must be pretty good. Number two, thank you for recognizing how good I am. That's me in my flesh. It's a wrong response. And then not long after that, they tried to get you on their side. And when you didn't do what they wanted you to do, here comes the knife in the back. You know people like that? Be very careful when people are overly friendly to you. There's oftentimes a motive going on that you don't know at the time, but you need to ask the Lord for some wisdom so you can spot it. This guy does not have a good motive, but he sure does sound nice, doesn't he? I'm here to help you. I'm here to comfort you. So I don't see any prayer here with Hezekiah. Instead, look what he does. Verse 13. Watch out for number 13 in your Bible, right? Look what he does in this verse. I don't think that's coincidental. Look at 13. At that, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Kind of showing off, wasn't he? How did that king of Babylon get Hezekiah to show off all his stuff? Did you notice there what he did there in verse 12? He brought him a present and sent him letters. Probably said some nice things in those letters. And that opened up the door for the king of Babylon to get a glimpse of all the glories of Hezekiah's kingdom. And not one time do I see Hezekiah saying something like, look at all these things that the Lord gave me or blessed me with. Because you know what? If the Lord has given you a lot like that, if you're going to show it off to somebody, you ought to say, I didn't do any of this. This is all the Lord's doing. But I'd say still, you got to be careful who you show your stuff to, don't you? Especially when it comes to material possessions. But the glory goes to the Lord on that. All right, now let's see Hezekiah's foolishness here. Verse 14. Then came Isaiah the prophet. Now, before I read here, Isaiah had a good message for Hezekiah the first time, didn't he? And it was a response to his prayer. Hezekiah gets not such a favorable message from Isaiah the second time. And you know what was missing from Hezekiah this time around? There was no prayer. Folks, I often, and I'm sure you're in the same boat, you go through your day and you're making decisions and you're not consulting the Lord because you think to yourself, this is just a little thing, I'll be all right. We need to consult the Lord in the little things, the medium-sized things, the big things, and the extra-large things. And I'll go back down the ladder there. How about the extra-small things? We need to talk to the Lord about those things. Hey, Lord, I'm pretty sure I know how to handle this, but can you help me out and make sure that this is the right thing? And if not, will you show me this is not the decision I need to make here? Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, but in the middle of my day, I can't pray. You're probably thinking that. I'll give you the book to read this afternoon. It's not at the Barnes & Noble or the Books A Million. It's in your Bible. It's actually just back a few books. Nehemiah. Here's what you find in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is in a place where he doesn't have time to go on his knees and pray or get a private place. He's got a job right before the king. And you know what Nehemiah does? Nehemiah prays, and it's real short and it's real quick. And Nehemiah probably did not say anything aloud when he prayed. Nevertheless, he prayed. Can you pray without speaking out loud? Can't you do one of these? Amen. All right. Can't you do one of those? Anybody got to know what you said? Who are you talking to? You're not talking to your coworker. Can't you do that? We ought to do it then. The smallest and the biggest decisions. Talk to the Lord. You only got a few seconds. That's enough time to say, Lord, help. Can't you say those two words? And I'm telling you, the Lord will help you. I don't see Hezekiah going to the Lord here. I see Hezekiah getting a little greedy, showing off everything. Let's look at the message from Isaiah. Then came Isaiah, verse 14. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. You want to have a little fun here this afternoon? Trace that little phrase, a far country, in your Bible. Going to the far country is not a good thing in your Bible. Coming from the far country. The far country is not a good place. I'll leave it at that. Guess where the prodigal son went when he left his father's house? Far country. There's the one right there. Luke chapter 15, I believe. All right, look at verse 15. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Watch the message. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into where? Uh-oh. Who did he show all his stuff to? The king of Babylon. Now where all that stuff, where's all that stuff going to end up? In that place, Babylon. He says, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing. Look at that, verse 17. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now if the Lord said there wasn't anything left, guess what? They're going to take everything. Verse 18, it gets worse for Hezekiah. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Ouch. That's a rough judgment right there. On Hezekiah, and not just him, but really it's going to affect his seed, more so than it's going to affect him in his lifetime. Do you see the reward, or I could just say the consequence of acting foolishly and not asking the Lord for guidance and wisdom? Do you see that? Don't make a hasty decision just because, well, I don't have time to pray, or just because, well, I got this on my own, it'll be all right. Don't you do that. You better take the smallest of matters to the Lord and ask Him for help so that the Lord is in your decision. Now, that's some good practical advice that all of us need. I need it as much as you do, if not more than anybody else in here. I know how my day goes, and I know some, many of you in here can relate to this. You're going through your day, and there is one decision after another you've got to make throughout your day. Some big, some small. Nevertheless, even the small ones have an effect on somebody else besides me. So when you have those situations, you better make sure that you ask the Lord for help for your own sake and for those affected by the decision. Hezekiah makes a decision without consulting the Lord, and it actually does not spell a lot of consequence for him. But guess who it does spell consequence for? People in the future after he would die. Folks, do you think that your actions now can affect people in the future? What do you think? I know for sure they can. Galatians 6:7, you don't even have to turn there. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. You know, the Lord put that little phrase in there. God is not mocked on purpose. So that I would be reminded when I read that, and so would you, that you don't just get by with certain things. The world likes to say what goes around comes around. They're just paraphrasing the scriptures. You know what the scripture says? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I will tell you this. You know this from experience. Probably many of you in here, if not everybody. You often, in fact, more times than not, you often reap more than you sowed. Now, that can work on your behalf in a good way. Or if you're foolish like Hezekiah, it can really work against you. So in this passage here, he sows a foolish decision and his seed reaps the great consequences of that decision. Do you think that what we're doing right here as Americans, let's talk as Americans right now, decisions being made by us collectively as Americans could maybe affect future generations of Americans? What do you think? Now, let's let our Bible-believing Christianity creep over into our American nests, if that's a word, or the fact that we're Americans. God did not put us here on accident in this country. And He put us here to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in 1776 and in 2021. Now, if I go back many years, I see Bible-believing Christianity a lot bigger than in the year 2021. Would you agree? You folks have been around for a while. I mean, I've been around since the 70s and 80s, and it was Bible-believing Christianity was huge. And you know what's happened? It's shrunk. And I can look around and point the finger at people and say, what's that guy's fault? Is that guy's fault? Or I can look in the mirror and say, what can I do to keep this thing going? Because it's not just about me and about you. It's about people coming after us. And we want to make sure we leave a Bible-believing heritage, isn't that the name of our church? Heritage for those who are going to come in the future. Now, I know what you're thinking right here. You're thinking, man, the rapture is going to happen in the next 5 years. I mean, we'll be out of here. I said that when I was 14. And then I was 25, and then 35, and then 45. The rapture hadn't happened yet. Now, I'm praying that it happens today. But it might not happen for another 20 years. And people will be here in this country, and I might not be, and you might not be. We're making decisions right now that are going to affect future generations. Let's make sure we have the Lord in the center of all decisions, because it's going to affect somebody. So let's keep the Lord at the forefront of our decision making. All right? Go to Proverbs 22:8. I know I haven't had you turn here. Let's go to one place over here. Proverbs 22, verse 8. A couple places here on this thing about Hezekiah's foolishness. Hezekiah's foolishness, you'll see this verse kind of goes along with that in not being wise in the sight of the Lord. Proverbs 22:8. We'll be back in 2 Kings here in a second. I'll just take you over here. Proverbs for a minute. Look what it says. 22:8. He that soweth, what's that next word? Iniquity shall reap what? All right. So iniquity is akin to sin in your Bible. Not quite the same, but similar. Vanity. A good synonym for vanity would be emptiness. You know what the world is experiencing right now? A great emptiness. You know why? They keep sowing the seeds of iniquity. Hey, even a Bible-believing Christian could experience emptiness, vanity, if you're sowing the seeds of sin. Now, you don't have to, but it all depends on what you sow, because you will reap what you sow. Hey, you know what you ought to be sowing this week? We already said it once, so I'll say it again. How about sowing some seeds of prayer? You say, I prayed a lot last week. Okay, pray more this week. You say, I didn't pray that much last week. Okay, pray a whole lot this week. Seeds of prayer. How about seeds of reading and studying the Bible? I don't understand how it works, folks, but I do know this. After reading and studying the Bible for a long time, when I am consistently reading and studying the Bible, I have more common sense in the sight of the Lord than when I'm not reading and studying the Bible. I can't understand. I don't understand how it works. I'll tell you how it works. You just keep putting it in. And when you keep putting God's word in, good things come out, right? But if you're not putting it in, nothing good's going to come out. Sowing and reaping again. So I noticed here in the last few days, I'm dealing with some situations where people in our world are nuts, folks. People are crazy. Some of the things they say and some of the decisions they make, they belong in the loony bin. Can I say that? That's probably not politically correct. But there's people that are making decisions today that it's like they're crazy. And I've got to be reminded. These are people who care nothing about the Lord and His Word. And I can get mad about it, or I can say, thank you, Lord, for showing me what's right. Thank you for showing me how foolish this is. Now, I need to pray for those people. I can call them crazy and I can get mad. It doesn't help at all. I can just say, okay, Lord, these people need to know your power. Would you get them to see how great you are and how great your word is and show them how foolish their thoughts are and how wise your thoughts are? So see, God puts you in these situations on purpose so you'll think right about them, even if they're not thinking right. You have to have the right thoughts about them. Okay, go back to 2 Kings here. Let's get this last thing here. Now, the end of Hezekiah's life is very interesting. Brandon and I were discussing this the other day. In fact, it was last Sunday night we were talking about this. And I thought I might get a little light on this thing, and I don't think I got a whole lot more. But let's see what it says. Verse 19. This is Hezekiah's, back in 2 Kings 20. Look at verse 19. Hezekiah's response to Isaiah's message. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah. What's that next word? Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Well, let's just take that. I say amen to that. Is God's word good? So this last point, we had Hezekiah's sickness, we had Hezekiah's foolishness. How about we leave Hezekiah and talk about God? How about God's goodness? You know what's good? The Lord gave us a book that we can trust no matter what all the crazy people in the world say. I got a reliable word from God that I can trust 100% of the time. Amen? I say good to that. I think about the word good in the Bible. You probably know the verse, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for what? Good. Not for everybody. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Hey, if you're trusting the Lord, things will work out good for you. Maybe a rough spot you got to go through, but it'll get better. It'll be good. So I thought we'd take a look at the Lord's goodness here for a second here, and then we'll hit this last thing. Keep your finger here, 2 Kings. Let's go over to, I'll take it two places, really just one book. Let's go to Psalms. Go to Psalm 27. Save some time here. Psalm 27. I'll give you a couple verses in Psalms on God's goodness. This is a whole study in itself, but let's just look at a couple verses. Psalm 27, verse 13. Good verse to go along with Hezekiah. 27:13 of Psalms. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of who? The Lord in the land of the living. I think that's a great verse for the day we live in. Don't you just sometimes want to faint about how crazy and mixed up things are? And there's a great verse. Look for the goodness of the Lord even in the midst of a mixed up world. You know where you'll see it? Get up early in the morning and watch the sun come up. Goodness of God. You ever seen two sunsets the same or two sunrises that are the same? They're always different. You know what that is? That's the goodness of God. Amen. Isn't that, man, you see the sun come up and go down every day? Isn't the Lord consistent? You don't have to wonder, man, I wonder if He's going to bring it up today. The Lord is always consistent. I wish I was. I'm not, neither are you, but the Lord is always consistent and the Lord is good. I hope you go out of here, if nothing else. Maybe you didn't like some of the other things that came out this morning, but I hope you'll remember the Lord is good. And He's been good to you. You just haven't thought about all the good things He's done for you. Maybe you ought to sit down and write them down this afternoon. Take 20 minutes and just get your notebook out and write down, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. You'll get a list. And you know what you can do with that list? You can come back to that list on a day where things aren't going so good for you. And you'll be reminded, I might not think it's good right now, but the Lord is good still. The Lord's good, amen. Go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Brother Myers, you need to come back more often. I appreciate your amens this morning. There's a man who could tell you some things about the Lord's goodness, and you talk to him about some of the just some of the work he's done over the years in different situations. He'll tell you the Lord's good. All right, verse 19, Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness. And that's obviously aimed at the Lord, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. You fear God? You ought to be able to see His goodness everywhere then. Which thou hast wrought for them that do what? Trust in thee before the sons of men. Hey, you'll see God's goodness, according to that verse, when you fear God and when you trust God, regardless of what everybody else is doing. How about one more? Psalm 52. I said two, let's go three. Had the third day over there in Hezekiah's account, so we'll go three verses here in Psalms. Psalm 52, look at the first verse. Oh, that's a good one. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth how often? Isn't that good? That's a good verse right there. The goodness of God endureth continually. Amen to that. Go back there to 2 Kings. And there's the good part of what Hezekiah said. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Look what he says here in the second half of verse 19. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in, what's that next word? My days. You see, old Hezekiah is still thinking about who? Now, I don't want to minimize all the good things about Hezekiah because he's a good man. There's a lot of lessons I can learn from him. But again, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God put this passage in all one chapter for me and you to see how a man can be thinking so right when he's walking with God and how a man can be so off when he's not walking with God, even though he knew the Lord. Folks, if you're saved here this morning, amen. But I beseech you, don't stop walking with God every moment of every day. Or you'll make some decisions that will end up very foolish decisions in time. Might not see it now, but you'll see it in time. Walk with God every moment of every day. What I see about Hezekiah in that second statement there is he's thinking to himself, man, there's some rough things coming for my people. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Now, you know what's really hard for us to do? Well, I say it's hard. It's easy for us to do this. We ought not do this. Man, the rapture's going to happen and we're out of here. And all those people that are left behind, oh man, that's going to be bad for them. And it's true. But if the Lord still got you here, how about you can do just like Pastor preached last Sunday? How about you get busy pulling people out of the fire as the Lord gives you time and opportunities to do so? What I'm talking about is talking about Jesus. So they're not here during that time. Because I know us Christians, and I'm the worst at it, we like to play this rapture card. Boom. The rapture's coming and we're just out of here. No more. We have to worry about the president. We have to worry about China. We have to worry about any of this stuff. Amen. The rapture. I hope it's today. If it's not today, I hope it's tomorrow. It might not be for 5, 10, 15 years. I know some of you Bible scholars out here got it all figured out. You know it's going to happen before the year 2023. You already got it all figured out. I used to think that way too. And the Lord keeps showing me, you don't know. So you might as well live every day like you got something for the Lord to do for the Lord. Every day, God's going to give you something to do for Him, so do it. Whether it's a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, doesn't matter. And you know what? You live long enough, you trust the Lord long enough, you will be able to brag on the goodness of God. Amen? Let me ask you some questions here as we close here. We talked about Hezekiah's sickness, and I will just remind all of us, the right response to being sick, it doesn't matter if it's physical sickness or spiritual, by the way, the right response to weakness, I could even say, sickness and weakness, the right response is prayer. Ask the Lord for help. You've been praying? You've been asking the Lord to help you with your ailments, no matter what they are? I said spiritual and physical. How about emotional? I tell you, this world can wear on you, and it can get you all, you can become an emotional wreck. Take it to the Lord. Second thing I ask you is, how are you responding to the enemy when he shows up? You know what Hezekiah did? He showed off. Folks, don't show off for the enemy. You better ask the Lord for help when an enemy comes along. And if the enemy seems like they're really sweet, they're not. You better make sure that you know what they're up to or try to figure out what they're up to. And in the meantime, you better lean on God instead of getting a little too close to them. Sounds to me like Hezekiah got a little close and he said, oh, you come along here and go with me over here and go with me over there. He should have shut that enemy out. Because you know what that enemy did? Enemy saw a lot and ended up taking everything. You better ask the Lord for help when the enemy shows up. And if you don't know who the enemy is, it's that subtle serpent, the devil. And how did the king of Babylon sneak in? Subtlety. How's the devil going to try to sneak into your life? Same way. It's been working for 6,000 years. You think he's going to try another strategy? Subtleties are effective. Beware of his subtleties. Last thing here, and I hope this will help you. Let's not forget to praise God and thank Him for His goodness to us. So we're going to have a time invitation here. And you may need to take something to the Lord in prayer. And you can do it at your seat. You can come down here too. It doesn't matter. But take your ailments, whatever kind you got, to the Lord in prayer. And if you just happen to be here this morning and you don't have any kind of ailments, you ought to thank God for His goodness to you. Take the time to do that. I think what the Lord put in this chapter for us is a portrait of the end of a man's life that could be any of us if we're not careful. Was he consistent? Sometimes. Did he make some good decisions? Yes, sometimes. Were all his decisions the Lord's right with the Lord and the Lord's will? No, they weren't. And I am glad that God put people like Hezekiah in the Bible because I can certainly identify. Can you? Now, I don't know when it's going to end, but I can be prepared for when it ends. Talking about my life and yours as well. Get some things right with the Lord this morning if you need to, so that you don't end up making a foolish decision towards the end that's costly to people coming after you or you yourself. Make a good decision in the sight of the Lord instead. All right? Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for how personal they are. I do pray that everyone here would respond in the way that you want us to. I know that we can get all swelled up in our pride thinking, oh, we don't need to do anything different. May that not be the case with any of us this morning. May we truly lean on you. And Lord, I want to take the time to thank you for your goodness and just giving us this church, this building, all the folks that are here, so many men here in this church that can bring forth your word. We are blessed people. We just want to thank you for your goodness. And I pray during this time here today that it would not be decisions made just for a moment, but for long lasting, for a long time down the road that would even affect eternal things. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.